Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome on in. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin. Spike, welcome on in. And look, last week we just were excited for basketball coming back. And then last night, well, a shot that maybe changed the history of basketball, the history of the Sixers, history of Ben Simmons for sure.
Joe, they're calling it the shot heard round the world. That's never been used before.
Nope.
So that's what they're going to call it, the shot heard round the world.
Well, we certainly heard around Philadelphia as Ben Simmons hit a three last night. The crowd went crazy. The bench went crazy. Spike, I had at least two, maybe three people call in on the way home from a preseason game against a team that until yesterday most people didn't even know existed.
Right.
Look, it's a good thing for Ben Simmons, but I will say to start this hour, and we want your opinion on this, 888-729-9494. We are making too big of a deal of this. The reaction to Ben Simmons hitting a three-pointer is it's unreal. And it wasn't like he hit it from the corner. It wasn't like he hit it dribbling up and the defense was lagging off. He's like, oh, I'm going to shoot this right in the guy's face. No, he was standing there. The clock was running down. He hit a three, shot a three, which is great. But it's the preseason. He's an all-star in the NBA. This shouldn't be that big of a deal.
But it is. And I think it was the right response for one reason and one reason only. Ben Simmons needs to be shaken into reality. There are too many people, including Ben Simmons, who have convinced themselves that he is capable of being the point guard of an NBA team where the best player is a 7'2" center and he doesn't need to be able to shoot. That is crazy. I mean, never in the history of the NBA has the ability to shoot been more important. And on no team in the NBA is the ability to shoot more important than the Philadelphia 76ers, who are built around two basically centers in Al Horford and Joel Embiid. I think that reaction was important because I think Simmons has to know just how important that is to everyone. Joel Embiid said it earlier this week that he wants Ben Simmons to take three so it opens up. He actually said the words. He wants Ben Simmons to take three so it opens up the lane. And I don't think that made any difference to Ben Simmons. I don't think it made any difference to Ben Simmons that in two straight playoff series, one against Boston, one against Toronto, he was essentially designated to go stand away from everybody else because he could not be involved in the half-court offense. Like, Jimmy Butler basically took the team out of Ben Simmons' hands last year. And he still does nothing about it. Now, he posts a bunch of off-season videos of him shooting, but still, he goes to that entire preseason scrimmage, the blue and white scrimmage, and has two wide-open three-pointers and passes up on both of them. I don't think he understands. And I think a stadium full of people screaming shoot at him every time he gets the ball, 20,000 people screaming, his teammates, Joel Embiid and Mike Scott, Joel Embiid had his hands in the air saying, like, basically, like, please shoot the ball. Mike Scott was egging on the crowd at the same time. So the crowd knows it's an enormous deal. His teammates know it's an enormous deal. The rest of the basketball media continues to say that, like, they might have to split Embiid and Simmons up if he doesn't successfully shoot. I think we have to overreact. And I think, like, he has to know, one, that people are behind him and it's okay if he misses, and two, that this is needed for this team to win a championship, because if he doesn't, I don't think they can.
Well, I agree with that. And it is very important for the reasons you laid out. And I don't think the Embiid thing, like, I think Embiid is sometimes smarter than we give him credit for the things he says.
Yep.
I think he's kind of sharp in the way he knows how it's going to go over. He knows the reaction, and I think he knows that was pointed at Ben Simmons. Like, hey, Ben, I need you to shoot. I'm going to say it in the media. The reaction, though, it feels patronizing to an extent. Like, he's not Markelle Fultz. He's an established NBA all-star that's been one of the, I don't know, 30 best players in the league over the last year or so. We treated it yesterday like the kid in high school that comes off the bench and he's the water boy. He's never going to play. He gets in the game before the half, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, shoot, and he makes it, and everyone goes crazy. This is Ben Simmons.
Good. Treat him like Lucas. That's what I keep saying. Treat him like Lucas. Treat him like he deserves a slow clap as he walks into the hallway by the lockers. Like, patronize him. You know what the big difference between Ben Simmons and Markelle Fultz is? Is that Markelle Fultz has hit a three-pointer in a regular season NBA game.
That's true.
And Ben Simmons hasn't. He has played for 2 years in the NBA and had the ball in his hands essentially every possession. Every possession. He made what? I think like three baskets outside of 15 feet last year, that's fine. If he wants his own team somewhere else where there are four shooting guards around him that he gets to just drive and kick it out to
like
him.
Like Giannis?
Yes, that's fine. But that's not where he plays. He plays where the best player is the center and potentially a top five player in the NBA in Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. And the only way that this is going to work if he shoots, I don't care if he feels embarrassed by how that. I want him to want to hit so many threes that we don't cheer like he's, you know, the kid on the end of the bench or a kid in T-ball. I want him to feel both. Like, he needs to know how everybody else views this, not just how he views this. And I think he's like in a he feels sheltered sometimes in a way, like, or in an echo chamber that he doesn't really acknowledge the opinions of others and he doesn't really take them in. And I think he needs that. Like, I think he needed to feel that yesterday.
Well, he can't ignore yesterday. I mean, what happened last night, it felt like that game was real. Like, I was watching it. We were on the air. People were calling in. It felt like either a playoff game or a big regular season game. It was a preseason game versus a Chinese team. Like, it is the least relevant thing you can do in a uniform possible. Like, it's not real, but we acted as if it was real. I understand why it's a big deal, and I acknowledge what you said. It's you know, the difference between the Sixers being a title contender or not is this happening. But now what? Do we do this every time he shoots the ball? When does it become not a circus act? Because that's what it feels like. Ben Simmons is shooting. Let's all take our camera out and take a picture of this because it's not real. It's not normal.
Until he stops playing games with it. You know, there was a point earlier in the quarter where I was going to say I forgot who was guarding him, but I don't know anybody else.
Nobody
on the other
knows
team.
Who
I know,
was guarding him.
I know Mo Spates was on that team last year, but there was a point at which he had the ball like 18 feet away from the basket, and he was dribbling through his legs and crossing the guy over. But it was funny because you just kept thinking to yourself, well, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, you shook this guy off three times. You got yourself 3 or 4 feet of space three times, and you're not doing anything with it. And you could see it. Every time he dribbles the ball up the court, he gets around to the three-point line, and one of two things happens. He either puts his head down and just runs into the lane so he doesn't have to deal with the idea of doing that, or he passes the ball off and then goes and hides in a way where, and you might say he's not hiding, but he is. He hides in a way that he is not standing in a place where he is likely to get the ball on the perimeter.
He may not be hiding, but he's avoiding the next reality.
Right.
He doesn't want it to happen.
Yeah, and I think, like, somehow, some way, because the 2 years of the season ending in the playoffs, maybe before that they wanted to, just doesn't seem like it has had enough of an effect on him. He continues to think like, there are two things that he is very stubborn about. One, that he's a point guard. Okay, fine. If you're going to be a point guard, then the other thing that he's stubborn is about, well, I can be a point guard and I don't really have to shoot jump shots. And forgetting about jump shots, he shoots 59% from the free throw line.
Yeah, those numbers don't work.
Yeah, both of those things need to get fixed. I hope they cheer like he's a four-year-old every time he takes a three until we're sick of doing it and it just seems like old hat. And he doesn't, and you know, a lot of people say, well, we just need him to take them. He doesn't just need to take them. He needs to make the shots at a significant clip. Not 40%. He's not going to be a great three-point shooter right away, but he needs to make them at a real clip.
Yeah, taking them is one thing, but making them changes the defense around him. 888-729-9494. Ben Simmons hit a three last night in a preseason game, and you would have thought the Sixers won the NBA title the way, and I felt it too. I was watching it, but in my sense, my feeling, Spike, was more of relief. Like, okay, I assume now he's capable of doing this. Like, deep down, there's somewhere that says, oh, he could do this maybe sometimes. Before, we were just pretending. Like, I don't know if he could make a three. But he got mad last week at one of the reporters at training camp.
Jack McCaffrey.
Yeah, for asking him if he's ever made a three in practice, which, or, you know, in a shoot-around of practice. And I understand why he got upset, because he probably has. But until we see it, none of us knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I think it was a fair question by Jack McCaffrey. Can you actually do this thing that we all want you to do?
Here's the thing, man. I think every press availability he has, someone should ask him about it. I think at the game on Friday, I don't think it's home. It's against Charlotte. They play on Friday. Oh, I wish it was home because I want every time he gets the ball for people to scream shoot. Like, because I really think that that wasn't enough. I really think the next time
so
he gets into a game.
So you don't think the reaction was strong enough?
No. I don't. I think they should keep doing it. I really do. I think that is such a block for him. He is so against doing it that I think he will think it's okay. Okay, now that I made one, I don't have to do it anymore. And I think it is definitely possible that the next game we see, so it's Friday night against Charlotte. Tucker, can you check if that's in Charlotte? I think it's in Charlotte.
I think it is too.
Friday in Charlotte, I bet you he does not take 1 3-point shot. That's my bet, because he's not going to be at home in front of the crowd that is going to pepper him into doing it.
So next Tuesday is their next home preseason game. That's our next chance.
Washington, I can never remember. Detroit.
Detroit or Washington. Yeah. But they have a chance next week to pander to the crowd again and get the reaction by shooting. 888-729-9494. Did you think the reaction of Ben Simmons hitting a three in a preseason game as the clock ran down was appropriate or over the top? I think it was over the top. Let's talk to Hassan and then... we're going to play something for you. Rick Bucher, who's been an NBA writer, insider for a long time, he actually thinks this whole thing could be counterproductive. We'll let you hear what he had to say. Hassan in Strawberry Mansion's up on Right to Ricky Sanchez Radio. Hey, Hassan.
Hey, how you fellas doing this evening?
What's good, up, buddy. What's up?
I'm good. Ben Simmons yesterday, I was on the inside feeling like yes, but I know why he could feel like he could feel, because at the end of the day, he is an all-star. And then in my eyes, the person who actually sparked the championship talks, because Embiid was hurt when the Sixers actually went that run and lead in the playoffs in 17, right after the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Ben Simmons sparked that team to the 19-0 streak, you know what I mean?
It was 17, but like, yeah, I think 14 of those games were against like the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, and also, to be fair, Hassan, I think it goes to the point where we're kind of all arguing here, is he did that without Embiid. He could play differently when there's not another big man on the floor with him, because he's a big guy. He plays point guard, but he's a big guy. He could play differently when he doesn't have another big guy to kind of be on the floor with him.
Right, and I understand that, but I think the only team that really, in my eyes, that stands a chance against them is L.A. Like, I think it's like them in L.A. this year. As far as how they match up, is size, and across the board. And if we could get, I know it's a little far-fetched because he's not there yet, but he's LeBron-like. If we could just get him to shoot the ball at a clip like LeBron does. Like, LeBron isn't going to Steph Curry, but if you leave him, he will hit it.
Well, here's the difference. And you're right. LeBron is not a great shooter, but he became a decent one. Hassan, we appreciate it. But I remember we had this discussion at some point last year, Spike. At some point early in LeBron's career, even as a rookie, he was shooting some threes.
Yeah, it's funny. I actually, Billy King, now working at WIP.
Yeah, he was on this morning.
He was on with Angelo, and he mentioned something about Jason Kidd early in his career. Jason Kidd shot like 4 threes a game in his second year.
He was just bad at it.
Yeah, he actually, in his second year, I think he shot 35 or 36%. So our memory of Jason Kidd is like he's like Simmons. He was shooting 4 threes a game and hitting like 35, 36%.
And I think he also, he got better as he went on a long screen. But Jason Kidd, I think he's top 10 or 15 ever in three-pointers made in NBA history.
His last 5 or 6 years, I think, made a big difference in that. Hassan's point, you're dead on about Simmons going on that run without Embiid there. That's a different team, you know? And that was a team that had shooters on it, and then without Embiid there, that lane is completely clear. But that's not how this works now.
Right. You know, we do this with a lot of athletes that we think are good or great. We talk about them in a vacuum. Well, they don't play in a vacuum. They play with teammates.
Right.
Right? Like with the quarterback or the best hitter. Like, it's one thing that what they're doing, but it has to function in the spirit of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Ben Simmons. That's why this is important. Last night was important. I guess I wasn't expecting that reaction. I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah.
But it felt more than I thought. Like, did you expect that to be as, it's all anyone talked about last night on social media. We had 3 calls, people leaving a preseason game wanted to react to Ben Simmons hitting a 3.
Against a Chinese Basketball Association team. I don't know what I expected, but I think there's a bunch of factors that lined up for it to happen the way it happened. I mean, just it's not like he did it off the catch either. There was the 10 seconds of waiting and the crowd chanting at it, chanting him at it. And by the way, he caused some of this by posting all of those videos over the summer. You know, like he doesn't want to talk about the jump shot, but he wants to post plenty of videos with himself shooting. So I think he created that on his own a little bit too.
Let's talk to Chris at Pensauken. And up next on Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio. Hey, Chris.
What's up, boys?
How are we doing?
I hope you have your raincoats. It's nasty out.
Yeah, it's not nice enough, but that's all right. We're here.
It's getting really cold. Spike, let me ask you a question because I don't get to speak to you a lot.
Yeah.
How many three-pointers do you want Ben to take a game?
I mean, what would be perfect or what's realistic? Like, is that what you're asking?
Give me, as Howie says, pepperoni or sausage.
Well, I mean, I would love for the point guard to be shooting 4 or 5 three-pointers a game. But if Ben Simmons was shooting 2 of them a game this year and could manage to do it at 30%, I think that would be an enormous win.
I agree with that because it sounded like when the introduction you were like looking, you were thinking he was going to turn into like Reggie Miller overnight.
But I mean, I think you can look at Giannis as a example, and he's had his ups and downs. But in the playoffs last year, he was shooting between 3 and 4 threes a game and shot 35-36%. And that's, you know, and here's the interesting thing is that he did that. And that wasn't even really enough to be the primary initiator. Like, even at that, people were backing off of him. And if you remember when the Sixers played Toronto last year, Pascal Siakam, who was an effective three-point shooter during the year, they knew he wasn't great at it, so they played off him. So I think that – now, look, Ben Simmons is obviously a better passer and a better ball handler than both of those guys, but that
– all day long and twice on Sunday, they couldn't hold his job, man.
Absolutely in that way. So I don't think he needs to be as good as they would need to be, but he needs to be better than he is.
I agree with that. I'd rather see the first 30 games. If he can consistently make like an elbow shot 14-foot, 16-foot, increase his foul shooting to 68-70%, we'll smash people, man.
Well, you're right. The foul shooting, Chris, would change everything because then you would imagine he'd go to the basket more because he'd be more willing to go to the line.
I mean, Spike, man, you live, eat, basketball. I would never contest against you. I'm the grumpy old man that owns the laundromat that Joe knows. But I got to tell you, man, those guys, when you're seeing their highlights, and I know it's the scrimmage games and all, I Googled up because I have no life to all the other teams the other night. They are monsters compared to other guys. I mean,
they're big.
If Brett Brown don't get this done, we need to start calling him on the carpet because this defense should be way better. I don't want to see us get people scoring $120 on us anymore, man. I'm done with that.
Well, I think you're right on that.
You guys have a great night.
You too, Chris. Appreciate it. There it is. A preseason game won the first bullseye on Brett Brown.
Well, you got to hold him accountable, Joe.
Well, I will. Yeah. I will. No, I like Brett, but I will hold him accountable. All right, 888-729-9494, #9494. That's how you hop in. Was the reaction of Ben Simmons' three-pointer over the top last night? I'd say yes. I couldn't believe how euphoric it was. Spike says it was spot on, exactly what it should be because of how much it meant. Your phone calls are aside, and what you hear from Rick Bucher and what he had to say, an interesting perspective on really how this could be a detrimental thing, which seems crazy, but you'll hear Rick Bucher had to say on Ben Simmons on the other side. This is Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Rights to Ricky Sanchez Radio, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Spike Eskin reacting to the reaction of Ben Simmons hitting a three last night, it was a great moment for the Sixers, a great moment in NBA history. Would you call it a top five moment we've had around here in a while? It certainly got a bigger reaction than real things.
It's funny. Angelo this morning was asking about a more exciting sports moment than Ben Simmons hitting the three, which was obviously a little tongue-in-cheek, but I thought it was fitting that my response was my favorite Philadelphia sports moment that I was there for was when Lou Williams hit the three against the Miami Heat in the playoffs on Easter. That was my favorite moment. I also felt really good for the two Ben Simmons enthusiasts within the radio station, our own Tom Kelly and Andrew Porter, who have been yelling at anyone who will listen that the point guard of an NBA basketball team in 2019 doesn't need to shoot to be successful. And then both, I'm sure, had tears dripping down their cheeks as Ben sunk the first three of his career against a Chinese basketball league team in the preseason.
Regardless of where you stand on Ben Simmons, here's what it is. All of us, whether you are pro-Ben, you are skeptical of Ben, deep down, every one of us knows he has to shoot. Even Tom Kelly, even Andrew Porter, they know it, and they don't want to say it out loud, but last night they cried themselves to sleep, happy tears.
Porter will never admit it. I think TK one day will. Do you think that everyone has to be either a Simmons guy or an Embiid guy? You don't have to hate the other one, but like, are you either a Simmons guy or an Embiid guy, or there's some people out there that like them equally?
No, I think deep down you're on one side or the other. Because eventually there's probably going to be a civil war. It happens with almost every tandem in NBA history. They always break up at some point.
I remember, so I was a Knicks fan in my teenage years, and I was a Starks guy, and it usually seemed like you were either a Starks guy or a Ewing guy. Like you because you needed to blame the other one when they lost in the playoffs.
That's the way this works.
Yeah, and I think you have to be an Embiid guy or a Simmons guy. Now, as much as I try to hide it, I'm obviously an Embiid guy over a Simmons.
You can't not really hide it. Yeah. It's quite obvious.
I don't really try to hide it, I guess. I can't, like, Ben doesn't even feel like a real person to me.
Yeah, he's a metronome. It's just like blank. Last night, you watch it and I don't know how many people were in the building last night, but whatever the number was last night, he was the only one that didn't seem to think that was the biggest deal in the world.
Do you think inside he was jumping for joy when he hit the three and everybody's celebrating and he's trying to act cool? Do you think that was an act, or do you think inside he really felt as calm as he looked?
Inside, he was not calm. He has to know this is going to cripple the Sixers if he can't shoot. Like, he's not. I think he's a smart basketball player.
Yeah,
and a smart basketball player that plays against other players in the league today knows the value of a 3-point shot.
Yeah,
he's
more
not a
than
dummy.
Two. It's more than two.
You don't have to be smart to realize this.
And the other thing we were talking about in the other segment about his free throw shooting cannot be discounted. He does not go to the rim enough because he doesn't want to get fouled because he's not a good free throw shooter. That guy could get fouled basically every time down the court if he wanted to. If he became a 70% free throw shooter, it would change his you know.
Everything.
Yeah. And hopefully being 70% would make him want to go to the rim more and get fouled.
888-729-9494. Did we go over the top in the Ben Simmons reaction last night, the way we reacted to a 3-pointer as the clock went down against a Chinese team in the preseason? Like that's what happened last night, and it felt like I was watching a playoff game. Spike thinks it was appropriate. I think it was over the top. Let's hear from Rick Bucher here. This was on radio.com sports, one of our digital shows. And
I think it was on Scal and Pals.
Brian Scalabrine, right. Yeah. Scal and Pals this afternoon. Here's Rick and his perspective on how this might actually be not a great thing for Ben Simmons.
Yes, if he can hit from range, if he has a mid-range jumper, that does change the dynamic. Seeing that shot, and maybe it almost works against him that everybody made such a big deal out of it. Like, now the pressure's on. If he misses the next one, it's back to the drawing board, you know? I mean, the problem is that it's been hyped to such a degree that people are going to be constantly watching that. You don't think Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons doesn't get excited about anything. So I take maybe like a 7-8%. Hey, you know what? He kind of stroked it from range. It was deep. It looked pure. Okay. Let me see a little bit more of this. But as Scal can certainly speak to, like hitting a shot in that circumstance, and then not even hitting, but just taking a shot with a game on the line or in a tight spot, or like those are two different things. And the shot the other night doesn't convince me that Ben Simmons is ready to take big shots from 18 feet or 28 feet as a result of what we saw.
Well, I agree with him on the end. Like that, what we saw last night is not indicative of a real game situation. And I'm watching, it's on behind us. SportsCenter is doing this right now. They're showing it over and over. Two things stood out to me. Number one, he's the only person in the arena that is not happy. He's the only person.
Yeah.
And they're framing this on SportsCenter. This plays into what I'm saying here, Spike. They're framing it as he makes his first 3-pointer of his NBA career. He didn't. That doesn't count.
Why doesn't it count?
It's the preseason.
Well, I mean, if you're counting everything.
No, the graph, look what it said. It said, enter Tuesday's preseason game 0-19 in the last two seasons. He's still 0-19. It didn't count.
What? It is amazing on SportsCenter. They're talking about a player making his first three-pointer.
It's patronizing.
Well, but I think that's the right thing. Well, so the first thing that Bucher said, he said that he thought this could have the reverse effect and make him less
likely to do
less likely to do it. He was definitely kind of bullied into doing it last night. So
oh, it was total peer pressure.
Yeah, it was the crowd. It was Embiid. It was Scott. It was Jason Richardson, I think, or Josh Richardson was doing the same thing. I don't know. If you can do it once, you can do it again. He doesn't want to hear people screaming, shoot at him. I'm convinced that they wouldn't admit to this, but I think they pulled him out of the blue and white scrimmage early on Saturday because people started saying it in the fourth quarter. They pulled him out with like 7 minutes to go, and they didn't do that in any other quarter. And I think they did it to get him to avoid that. You're not going to be able to avoid it in real games.
So this, it feels like now that this is easily the story of the year for the Sixers as we start the season.
Yep.
Right. And it has been in the past, but it was more of a, maybe he will shoot. Now it's going to be, when is he going to shoot? How much is he going to shoot? If this is happening here, it's going to be the reverse in road games.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, opposing crowds will taunt him that he's not shooting.
Yeah.
So, like, I think here it's like a welcoming environment. Like, please, Ben, shoot it. We want you to shoot it. It's going to be the opposite in the road. I don't know how he's going to handle this.
You don't think it's going to be friendly in Boston when they play? You don't think they're going to
shoot
be...
a coward? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not. And look, he can take these in the preseason, but I just don't know what last night will do for him and the reaction. Like, maybe he feels great now. Maybe he feels like we're behind him. But we're not going to be behind him next time he doesn't shoot. It felt like a fleeting moment.
Yeah. Well, maybe. Maybe it'll be maybe we'll look back at this season and that three-pointer as the highlight. Yeah.
Oh, the highlight. The highlight. If it's the highlight, this thing went really bad.
No, I think at the end of the day, I think more moments like this will push him. And what we can only hope is that he really did become more proficient at it in the offseason. Because this does not help at all if he didn't get any better. And I am one of those people who has watched his off-season jump shot videos and seen basically the same exact form as we've seen before. But maybe, I don't know, it's possible, yet there are plenty of players throughout history who have gotten good at shooting the ball the wrong way. You know, like not everybody, even Reggie Miller, his arms were all jacked up all over the place.
His elbows like hit each other when he shot it.
Yeah. Sean Marion shot weird and shot effectively. So we can only hope that he did put in that work. So if he does shoot it, it does go in. Because I don't want to bully him into doing it if he's bad at it. That's an entirely different story.
Well, yeah. And then when that last night was bullying, here's what will help me feel better about this. If the next game or the next one, whenever these games are played in the preseason leading up to regular season, if he takes one in the flow of the offense. Like, last night was very easy to goad him into it. The clock was running down.
Yep.
The defender's 8 feet off him. It's like, just do it now. But if he gets the ball on a pass and he just quickly throws up, there's no time for the crowd to, you know, push that along. That's just a flow of the game thing.
This is the weirdest thing ever. I mean, the Sixers for the last 7 years, maybe you start with Bynum, right? Maybe the last 8 years have had the weirdest collection of unfortunate situations, odd situations. When you look at all of them, start with Bynum, then go to Embiid breaking his foot the second time. Then there's obviously the Markelle Fultz fiasco. Then there's, what's his name, Zaire Smith almost dying last year because of a
sesame
allergy.
My daughter's learned sesame. It's a serious thing.
Yeah, it's a very serious thing.
I didn't think it happened to NBA players.
No.
I thought it happened to kids.
Especially when he's 21 years old, you know? And then, obviously, there's the Brian Colangelo thing. And by the way, their current GM was a player that they amnestied 6 years ago, 7 years ago. They amnestied Elton Brand, and he's the general manager now. And this... The all-star who has never made a three-pointer is just another weird thing in the list of weird things.
So I am not usually one that believes in the sports gods or things like that, but if you take away the Bynum thing, it does feel like maybe it's the universe kind of evening itself out. Like the Sixers underwent the most forward tank in the history of sports to maximize their ability to get good. But it feels like along the way, there's just ridiculous pitfalls.
Are you saying this is like karma?
Yeah, it's your fault.
Oh, my fault?
Yeah,
you
have to take some of the blame for it. All right, Keith is in Chester. What's up, Keith?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Let me turn the radio down real quick. All right, so I was talking to the producer. Do you remember a long time ago when Hack a Shack first came out?
Uh-huh.
So they kept getting him because they knew he couldn't shoot a free throw. And it seemed as if on the fly he learned how to shoot a free throw in the middle of the game. And he looked over to the coach and the bench and said, that's not going to work anymore. Ben Simmons will have the same reaction, I think, so long as this keeps going on.
So you think think eventually there's going to be a moment in a big game in a big spot, not like last night, where someone backs off him and he just drills a three and it's basically over then?
It's going to be the new normal. It's going to be the new normal. He's going to get tired of it. He's going to get tired of it, you know? Yes, he was trying to be cool, I think. He played off nonchalantly, let everybody else get all excited over it. But not for nothing, his stock went up just a little bit last night.
Yeah, look, I hope he has those kind of emotions because that's a good thing. It just I watch him and I wonder if he does. I wonder what he thinks of all this. Personally,
right,
I think he's just I don't think he thinks it's as big of a deal as we do.
Really?
Really? You think he really feels the way that he looks?
No, he doesn't.
Well,
what's he, 24 years old?
23.
Yeah, he was happy for you on the inside.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, otherwise he doesn't have real emotions. I don't know how you'd not be happy as 20,000 or 10,000, whatever there was last night. People are cheering you like you just won a game, even though it's the preseason.
He was happy for you last night, you know.
Well, Keith, I hope you're right. Look, we appreciate the call. The Shaq thing is interesting, but that took time. Like, he had those shooting coaches, and he developed that really weird thing where he was almost like dunking the ball from the free throw line with one hand.
Yeah.
It may have maybe he was okay with himself in a moment, but like it took time for him to become whatever he became for shooting free throws.
Well, it's not like he got good at it.
No.
I think he just got more confident in it, or it didn't scare him as much.
And I guess he had moments in the postseason where he didn't kill his team. Like, he was okay in those moments.
Well, yeah, the thing about the free throw thing is that if you hit 55%, that's fine. If during the Hack-a-Shaq thing, if you're hitting 55%,
so much.
Well, yeah, because if you think of like your offensive efficiency, 1.5 points every time you go down the trip, every time you go down the court is like an offensive. I don't want to be a dork about it, but the offensive efficiency is like 150.
Right.
I mean, that's a good offensive efficiency. So
yeah, and he was okay at it in the postseason enough. Yeah, and they did it so
well.
Much.
It's 105. I'm sorry, not 150. It's 105. Yeah. 75% would be 150. It's 105, but it's still good enough.
Right, and he got to the point where he was good enough.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully, Ben can get there with his three-point shot. 888-729-9494, #9494, on your AT&T Verizon wireless cell phones. Was the reaction of Ben Simmons' three over the top? I'd say it was. It felt patronizing. This guy's an all-star. Spike thinks it was right on point. I think we have to bring TK in. Tom Kelly, who is here doing updates tonight, he is one of our biggest Ben Simmons fans on staff here to get his take on this. On the other side, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.